Watcher, it's Mike Wynn with this week's Thrill Enjoyment of Jazz. Welcome, and we're going to start with a vocal, Azurte, the Blues in Paris.
Gone and got the blues in Paris. Paris blues called Azurte. How can I be blue in Paris? Easy when you're far away. Can't lose this blues, this Azurte. Montmartre, springtime, Eiffel Tower. Funny taxis, kids at play. Paris without you is lonesome. I'm yearning more and more each day. To lose this blues, this Azurte. If you knew how much I need you, you'd come back to me to stay. Having you with me in Paris, it really is the only way. To lose this blues, this Azurte. Bye. you knew how much I need you, I know that you'd come back to stay. Having you with me in Paris, it really is the only way to lose this blues, this azure day. Can't lose this blues, this azure day. Can't lose this blues, this azure day.
The singer, Karin Allison. The song, Azure Day, and all about being blue in Paris, but recorded in Kansas City, Missouri. And it does have a feel of Paris. That's thanks to the wistful French harmonica playing of Randy Weinstein, Rob Fleeman acoustic guitar, Bob Bowman bass, Todd Strait drums. The lineup does vary from track to track. Karin Allison came to jazz rather later than you'd expect. She graduated in classical piano at the University of Nebraska and then joined an all-girl rock band. Well, she got to jazz eventually, as this November 94 recorded Concord album demonstrates perfectly. Pure coincidence now, but we're staying in KC. This Decca LP is called George Russell Sextet in KC. And where was it recorded? No, not Kansas City, but New York, of course, Feb 61. Russell piano and arrangements, Don Ellis trumpet, Dave Baker trombone, Dave Young tenor, Chuck Israel's bass and Joe Hunt drums. This particular lineup made three LPs together before Russell took on first Eric Dolphy and then Don Cherry. And his music went a bit towards the avant-garde end of the spectrum. This was the first working group that Russell had led. They stayed together less than a year, though. In 53, George Russell wrote a book with the unpromising title of The Lydian Chromatic Concept of Tonal Organization, jazz based on scales rather than chord changes, which brought about the modal revolution of Miles Davis and John Coltrane. So yes, George Russell was indeed a major jazz thinker. Gene Krupa is undoubtedly one of the best-known drummers ever. Here's why. A Verve LP called Classics in Percussion, a gatefold Verve LP indeed. The liner notes list the percussive instruments on this late 40s, early 50s recorded LP, mostly 49 in Hollywood. Anyway, this list has 45 separate items on it. I agree, if you don't like the sound of drums, that probably didn't work for you, but I'm sure everybody did enjoy that song. It was called, quite simply, March. The band includes Roy Eldridge, Don Fagerquist, Frank Rossellini, amongst an A-list of musos. This next song is called Daffy. Another new Sonorama LP from Germany. It has the slightly strange title of Jazz Quintet 60, The Last Call. Again, and well done Sonorama, all previously unreleased numbers. They had been tape recorded privately by the tenor player on this 1962 recording for Danish radio. The tenor man we are pleased to thank is Niels Husum. Alan Boczynski is on trumpet, Bent Axon piano. This was recorded in Copenhagen, so yes, Niels Henning Orsted Pedersen on bass. NHOP had just turned 16 at the time of this recording. Bjarne Rostfold drums. This band, Jazz Quintet 60, yes, an odd title as that does seem to date them, or out of date them in 62. They were hugely popular in Denmark, and they were called the Godfathers of Danish modern jazz. They formed in 57 when they were initially called Jazz Quintet 58, as that's when their first recordings were released. I'm going to ask for your indulgence now. This next record is not jazz, but I heard it for the first time this week and really want to share it with you. Thank you. A bit jazzy? No, not really. It's described as a mixture of old Cajun folk music with blues and R&B, plus other bits and bobs added. The leader is Clifton Chenier, King of the Bayous. He sings and plays accordion, his brother Cleveland on rubboard. Antoine Victor guitar, Joe Morris bass, Robert St. Judy drums, recorded in Houston, Texas, November 69. Clifton, born and died in Louisiana, was known as the king of the Zydeco music. No, me neither, but basically rock and roll sung in French. Not sure Johnny Hallyday would have agreed with that. That song was Release Me, and you're forgiven if your mind wandered off to Engelbert Humperdinck. I haven't mentioned him on this show before. It's the real thing now. Yes, the Duke Ellington Orchestra with their critically acclaimed Shakespeare-inspired Columbia LP, Such Sweet Thunder, composed by Duke and Billy Strayhorn, recorded April 57. We heard Lady Mac, and the liner notes then, very helpfully, expand that out to explain to us that it referred to Lady Macbeth. Or how could we have possibly known that from this Shakespeare-inspired suite? Soloists were Ellington himself, Russell Procope, alto, and Clark Terry, trumpet. The Duke says of Lady Mac, though she was a lady of noble birth, we suspect there was a little ragtime in her soul, unquote. Let's continue with this Ellington theme, Black and Tan Fantasy. For me, most definitely, one of Thelonious Monk's best albums. It's on Riverside, and it has the self-explanatory title of Thelonious Monk Plays Duke Ellington. Monk was a huge Ellington fan, and it comes across on this wonderful July 55 recording of Ellington Standards. Monk gives Ellington's early compo, Black and Tan Fantasy, a funky blues feel. I hope this album is in your collection. It certainly should be. And it's not just Monk. Ellingtonian Oscar Pettiford is on bass, and bebop pioneer Kenny Clue Clark drums. This next one is best listened to in the open air. It could well shake the foundations of whatever building you're in.
Thank you.
Charles Mingus compo Moaning, different obviously from the better-known Bobby Timmons Moaning. Yet more wonderful, previously unreleased recordings from Sonorama of Germany. This LP is called Dusty Vibes, all recordings between 63 and 67 for the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation. Radio Zurich was putting out regular broadcasts of lineups featuring Hans Kennel trumpet and Bruno Spoeri reeds. These selections were eventually found in the archives of the Swiss broadcaster. Moaning was recorded April 65 with Spoeri on his earth-moving baritone, Umberto Alati trumpet, Peter Candioto alto, Andy Scherer tenor, Joel van Rugenbroek piano, Carl Theodor Geyer bass and Kenny Schmidt drums. Here's a Miles Davis number you may not know. Perhaps not what you'd expect from Miles Davis, but this is part of a film soundtrack written by bass player Marcus Miller. The film was Siesta, released in 87. Miller writes all but one of the tracks and plays most of the instruments, Miles on trumpet, obviously. We heard Submission. The music from this film is dedicated to arranger Gil Evans, with whom Miles had had a very successful collaboration earlier in his career. I don't want to give the film plot away, but five of the songs are called Lost in Madrid. Five times? It's fun to hear a melodic and muted Miles towards the end of his musical life. Here's Larry Willis with an LP called A New Kind of Soul. It's hard to handle. Thank you. the Otis Redding compo Hard to Handle from a 1970 LP called A New Kind of Soul. And it was the first outing as a leader on record for pianist Larry Willis. Funky or what? Well, funky, actually. An interesting lineup: a rhythm section of Willis piano, Al Gaffer guitar, Victor Sproles bass, and Al Foster drums, plus a three flugelhorn front line: Marv Stamm, Jimmy Owens, and Joe Newman. After that full-on funk, let's quieten down a lot. That's from a Capitol LP from the early 60s, 64 I think, called Jazz Furlough. The pianist and leader Danny Long had just been drafted into the US Army, and this record was recorded on his first furlough, not a word that we use in the UK. But Americans often use the old Dutch word to say leave of absence. It was indeed the very first album that Danny Long made as a leader. He was discovered by Bobby Darin in a Chicago jazz club. Darin arranged for his record label Capitol to record this promising youngster. Unfortunately, it was also his last album as a leader, although he did have a long career in music. Ray Neapolitan bass, John Whited drums. That was a Dave Brubeck compo, Strange Meadowlark. Let's have a Celtic-flavoured number. That's from a Hannibal label LP called Whatever. The follow-up album was called Whatever Next. That's worth a smile. Bassist Danny Thompson, on his very first outing as a leader, recorded in 87, somewhere in England. Tony Roberts on various reeded instruments, Bernie Holland guitar and harp. That song was called It's Monday, which, depending when you're listening to The Real Enjoyment, could well be true. Thompson had had a varied musical career up to this point, from Tubby Hayes to Pentangle to Kate Bush. A review of this LP in the Times of the day states, quote, Thompson combines the emotional generosity and melodic imagination of Charles Mingus with the steadiness and depth of Charlie Hayden, unquote. Let's close out this week with a Hammond B3, as played by Bill Doggett. This is the March 58 recording on King Records. Floyd Candy Johnson, tenor. Lawrence Tricky Lofton, trombone. Clifford Scott, alto. Thomas Penn Bowles, baritone. Billy Butler, guitar. Edwin Conley, bass. Shep Shepherd, drums. It was a toss-up between two Strayhorn gems, Chelsea Bridge and Passion Flower. Passion Flower won. As ever, I hope you've enjoyed all this week's variety. Thanks for listening, and I really hope you'll be back with me, Mike Wynn, next week for another The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please take care, be well.